understanding the relationship between grace and work. When you look into the Word of God, there is a relationship between grace and work. One thing you should note is that grace is not an end in itself. Grace is supposed to empower for works to be produced. So understand this, that you were created to work. You are not a being that must exist without work. Work is actually what gives meaning to living. So if we do not understand what grace comes for, we may frustrate the grace, or we may have the grace, but the grace will be in vain. I see you accomplishing great things.
Now, your word in season.
Hallelujah. Just for some few minutes, please, let's get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Last Sunday, we started to look at a subject, the relationship between grace and work. I pray that my intentions, as directed by the Holy Spirit, will be fruitful in your life. You know, the Word of God says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings and not mean men." So I'm expecting, as I am diligent in the work of the Lord, the people I'm standing before will be kings, huh? Amen. 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 You know, the word kings is not necessarily those that are sitting on black stool, but then those that would become rulers in their respective fields. So if you are not becoming a ruler, then the probability that after some few years I may not be standing in front of you will be very great, because I will stand in front of kings. Hallelujah. And you are going to be kings, rulers in your respective fields. So this subject we are discussing is so that we'll become excellent workers, people who are graced and not wasting grace, people who grace have been bestowed upon, but the grace is not in vain, but it will show in your work. We'll become excellent workers that would stand out in every field of life, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody shout a living amen. Amen. So last Sunday we looked at the fact that God is a giver of grace. He gives grace. He gives grace. What is grace? Simply put, grace is a gift, okay, or an endowment from God. So God, he specializes in giving grace. The Word of God says he is able to make all grace abound. So he is not limited in grace. He is actually the source of all grace. So the Word of God says he is able. 2 Corinthians 9:8. We read that on Sunday. Let's read it again. And God is able to make all grace. Somebody say all grace. So grace for whatever. The only thing exempted is evil. He doesn't give grace for evil. So grace for whatever. Grace for every good work in man's life. He is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, not sometimes, always, having all sufficiency. Okay, that means we don't lack what it will take to produce results. All sufficiency. In all things. I like all those words, okay? It's almost like it is showing us it covers every area. all, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So the reason for the abounding of grace is that we will abound to every good work. So grace and work are not in conflict. Grace is for work. And once we understand this, we will be found as the best workers wherever we are. We will not be the people that destroy businesses, that destroy things that are handed over to us. We will be the reason for people to celebrate and say, look at this person. Because of the grace of God bestowed on him or her, this thing has worked. I see that happening in your life. So grace, God is a giver of grace. He bestows whatever is required so that we can work. So please don't forget, grace and work or works are not in conflict. All right? We in Christ believe that whatever we become is by grace. Right? So you see, we trace all of our sufficiency into God. So whatever we are not it independent of God. 2 Corinthians. Let's read another scripture from 2 Corinthians 3:5. 2 Corinthians 3:5. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Where is our sufficiency from? Is of God. So we are not independent of God. Okay? Praise the Lord. If we don't understand this, there are so many believers, in my estimation, may have issues as the years go by, because they would be sitting down waiting for grace to produce something for them and lazying about, not understanding that the grace they have received is to make them excel in their work. Is somebody listening? They are supposed to work hard and make sure that they excel in what they do. Okay? So that we wouldn't also point to success of others as always by grace. If I was also giving grace, I would have also been able to. So it's almost like, then God was not fair to me. He didn't give me grace, so I couldn't accomplish. No, he giveth more grace. And he says he is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you will have all sufficiency in all things. Come on. Hallelujah. I see great entrepreneurs here. Amen. By grace, right? But the grace will empower you to work, produce works. Yes. Great establishments. Amen. Great schools. Amen. 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 You will be excellent. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Somebody shout a living amen. Amen. Beautiful. So we are whatever we are by the grace of God. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Let's read something from there. So I pray that this will be so settled in your heart that after you have received grace of any kind, you will not sit down lazing around, and for 5 years, when we look at your life, is the same level with stagnancy, and you say, oh, look, you wait forever. No, we don't wait for grace. We take grace to do works. You know, people have that thing. The thing is spoiling. By the time they realize, it's 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, they are still media me. He giveth more grace. Now look at here. He says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now if thou did receive it, why doest thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" So for us, everything we receive is of God, is from God, right? As believers. This can give you a very some way mindset where it is like, if I've not received it, and it's, then it is not God who has it, then it is God who has not given it to me. Hello? No, but that shouldn't be it. He giveth more grace to become whatever you must become. Like Apostle Paul said, he said, "The grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I did what? I labored." 1 Corinthians 15:10. Let's read it again. I pray in 10 years from now, you not come and tell me, media but you will take grace to become whatever you must become. Hallelujah. In 10 years' time, I wouldn't hear people singing songs of regret. We will be shaking hands and say, "Congratulations, you produce results with grace." Yeah. Yeah. You will not be sleeping, wasting time. And then after 5 years, you say, "God has not given me." You become all you must become. Now listen to Apostle Paul. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Paul says, "I received grace, but I didn't sit down with the grace." So if you think the church in Corinth, the church in Ephesus, the church in Philippi, the church in Colossae, all those churches, if you think I was just sitting down and grace brought it. He said, "When I took grace, I traveled more than all of them. I labored. I burnt the midnight candle. We all took grace in church. But one went to sleep, eating granos and watching TikTok, enjoying telenovelas. And one was inside the book. The head was in the book." Translate it. And you say that the greats just came about because he was giving grace and I was not giving grace. Please tell somebody for me. Nothing just happens. Nothing just... No. Hallelujah. So I am what I am. I am what I am. So in 5 years' time, you would be saying, "I am what I am." Please remember, he didn't say, "I am who I am." As for who, we are all children of God. Who are you? I'm a child of God. I'm saved. Who are you? I belong to the King. I am a child of the kingdom. Are you getting on? But what are you? That is where the difference is. What will you be in 5 years? I am what I am. By what? The grace of God. But the grace that was bestowed on me last 5 years was not in vain. Why? Because I labored. People of God. Hallelujah. Now he speaks to us. He says, "Do you need grace for anything? Come boldly before the throne of grace." Come boldly. I mean, God is ready to make grace available. So come boldly and take. Hebrews 4:16. What does he say? I'm praying I'll have some rich people, wealthy people in church. And you are one of them, huh?
Amen.
Yes. The Bible says Abraham was rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. That means Abraham had different streams of income. He was not just a gold dealer. He also dealt in silver. He also dealt in cattle. My goodness. Abraham was so buoyant that when you wanted to give him free things, he said, I don't like it. You know when Sarah died, they wanted to dash him land to bury Sarah. He said, no, I'm going to pay for it. Abraham paid, and they took the money. And the guys were tricking Abraham, you know. He paid. I pray in the name of Jesus, a day is coming. You will pay.
Amen.
Whatever the amount. Eh? Is somebody listening at all? He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the what? Throne of grace. So sometimes we feel inadequate. So here, it's not just about... Okay, when you read it in context, you may think it was talking about just overcoming weaknesses. Let's start from verse 14. So that... But I believe that you can apply it to every area of life. So he says... Seeing then that we have a great high priest, talking about Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, that is our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So here, when you read this in context, you may think that he's just talking about sin. But you can apply it to everything. Because weaknesses may vary. You may not be struggling with sin, but you may be struggling with inferiority. And you feel like you are inadequate to handle certain things. Am I communicating at all? Especially in our part of the world. We are not inspired to aspire. The moment you are inspired to aspire, they say you are proud. You are too young. They don't want to despise you. You see, when you are very young and even certain things come into your possession, they start to question you and want to scrutinize you and bring you to, because you don't have gray hair. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I see some young, rich people.
Amen.
Yeah, that by 35, come on. Don't let them tell you that you have to be 55 before you go and live in your own house. Hey, look at somebody for me and say, don't let them tell you that. Don't let them tell you that. Don't let them tell you that. How many years will you live? If you are even going to be 90, how many years would you enjoy your house? You have to be 60 years before you go and live in your own house. How can you enjoy it? No, how can you enjoy it? This life on earth is so short. If you want to enjoy it too, you don't want us to enjoy it. What's the meaning of all this? Tell somebody, look, you must enjoy your life. Abba. Eh? 60, you can't buy what you will call Dr. At 60 years, when you pick your passport, may you be able to travel everywhere you want to go on holiday and just come back. You will enjoy your pension.
Amen.
Someone say, hey, pastor, why we are young? You are talking about pension. You see, if those who are in pension or on pension heard these things when they were not on pension, they would have prepared before pension. I pray in Jesus' name, everybody in this church will so be prepared for pension.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the verse 16 says, if you are having an infirmity, Jesus also went through infirmities, weaknesses, but he was tempted at all points, but sinned not. Then he says, if even you feel inadequate for anything, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne. So God's throne is called throne of grace. Can you imagine? So when you come before him, what do you expect? Grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So nobody is supposed to complain about the lack of grace. We can come boldly to obtain grace to do what we must do. Does it make sense? Beautiful. Now, what is work? Work is man's effort. Okay? Man's effort. Or man's labor. Or man's toil. Or man's sweat. I tried to explain to you last Sunday that work is not a curse. So you must love work. And especially as young people, we must so love work because this is the daytime of our lives. I told you, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh where no man can work. So there will come a time where you cannot work as you should. And this is the season to work. Work is not a curse. I told you, God himself is a worker. And when he created us, he created man and gave man work to do. So work is not a curse. And you must gladly accept that so that you don't see toiling as a curse. Toiling is not a curse. Sweating is not a curse. Sitting down to work for many hours is not a curse. When you run away from work, you run away from hard work. You run away from hard labor. Hard labor should not be a qualification because you were put behind bars. You say 10 years imprisonment with hard labor. No, you must have a hard labor as an attitude. Hard labor as an attitude. All the great civilizations we see are built upon the hard labors of people. Mention the great countries you know. Hard labor. Hard labor. You know, one time I was in the city of London and I was in an underground, the Jubilee Underground, which is like when the underground station was like 50 years, then they constructed that one. Look, trains are running underground. And you see pictures. When you go to the underground museum, they show you pictures of how they made the underground stations. And the labor, the hard work they did to create even drainage systems. Gutter. People of God. You see, beautiful nations are built with hard work. And I pray that you catch this and have a baptism of grace for hard work. Not all these cat corners wanting quick moves to make quick money. That has ended a lot of people with short lives. But hard work. Is somebody listening at all? What? Hard work. Look at somebody say, hard work is not a case. Hard work. Tell about three people for me. Hard work is not a case. Hard work is not a case. Tonight, my message is very simple and I'm rounding up. The baptism of grace to work hard. Sunday, we'll delve deeper and go into some other things. I said, I want to share with you, how can we create multiple streams of income? You see, this is our working season, the working seasons of our life. I tell you, the working seasons of our lives. By the time you are turning a certain age, you can't work so much. So we should really work creatively and skillfully and hard. So that we can give our best to mankind and also build better futures for ourselves and our families. I don't know if you want a better future. Do you want a better future? Lazy people don't have a better future. You know, I was thinking about something this afternoon. You see, laziness is twin brother to foolishness. Yes. When somebody is lazy, they don't think properly, I'm telling you. Slothful man is foolish. Yes. Let me end by saying this, and we'll pray. I said the prayer is what? Baptism of grace to work hard. You are not tired at work. Yeah. Next Sunday, we are going to discuss embracing the pressure of hard work. Yes. Embracing the pressure of hard work. Listen, there's a certain kind of toil, creative, intelligent toil, that can only make you prosper. You can never be among those who are broke and poor. Yeah. Yeah. And that is what we must be. Now, that scripture in Proverbs 22:29. That scripture there. See thy man diligent in his business. You know that scripture. I think it's only two people that know that scripture. I tell you, when it gets to a certain time and you didn't work well and hard and didn't understand certain things, the Lord may not be very proud of you. You know, God is a prophet-oriented God. He's what? A prophet-oriented God. When you look at the parables of Jesus, he will give you talent, travel, and when he comes back, he expects profit. And when you don't give him profit, he calls you wicked. He is a prophet-oriented God. And that is how we must be. Prophet-oriented people. He says, seest thou a man diligent in his business. Now, let me say this. Diligence doesn't simply mean, or it doesn't just mean working hard without thinking. I follow what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Let's say somebody sells something on the head. Like those that sell things on the head on the street. Okay? Sometimes you look at them and you see that work, even you need a certain level of skill and intelligence to carry something on your head. I pray after this subject, I want to see very powerful creative workers. And when you see that person, you say, oh, it doesn't look like this person is skilled much, okay? But when there is traffic and somebody wants to buy and they run with the thing on their head and it doesn't fall, can you do that? That is skill. But you see, without creativity, without intelligence, the person would do that for many, many, many months, many, many, many years, and not graduate from that level. But you see, one can start from there, but the Lord expects everyone to move and become more productive in your work and progress. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. He says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? So diligence connotes working with intelligence. Hallelujah. Working with intelligence. So not just because we said hard work. So now you are just... Now it also means skillful. It means what? Skillful. It also means skillful. Then it also means to learn to do things quickly. I know all of us have been disappointed by tailors and seamstresses before. Sometimes you take your fabric to them and they tell you, you will have it Friday 6 p.m. You get there Friday 6 p.m. People of God, you would realize that the person may have skill, the person may be intelligent, but the person is not working with haste to make sure that clients are satisfied. So that person is not entirely diligent. Are you following what I am saying? I know somebody won't agree with what I'm saying, but if you are not the tailor, you will have the pain. The tailor doesn't feel the pain, so he will say he doesn't agree. Have you also worked with a carpenter?
No.
Who told you that? Like, so I had this carpenter working for me. And he would do a beautiful work. But then he came to me and he said, "Pastor, I have a problem." "So what is the problem?" He said, "I really get contracts with big people, but it doesn't last. Then I will lose those contracts." So I said, "Oh, I think we have to pray about it." So I booked a prayer appointment so that we could pray about it. Then I gave him a contract. People of God, I gave him a contract. He brought one side. The other side, up till today, I've not seen him. Then I realized that this is why you lose your contract with kings. So it is not prayers. The man lacks what? Diligence at work. He lacks diligence at work. So, no wonder he will only be working with mean men. That means people who don't mean much. People who don't really care whether you meet demands or targets or not. Those are the people he can function with. May you be one that can be relied upon in your work. In the name of the Lord Jesus. May you be one that can be relied upon, seen as intelligent, seen as skillful, seen as one that can be depended upon, that at whatever given time, you will meet demands, you will meet targets, you will not disappoint. And therefore, kings can work with you. Kings can work with you. Kings can work with you. Rulers can work with you. Because yourself, you have learned how to deal with rulers. Because you have become a ruler yourself. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I see abundance of grace coming upon you. A baptism of grace for intelligent, diligent work. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A baptism of grace for hard work. Diligent work. In every area of our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to lift up your voice and shout, "My Father and my God, I am before the throne of grace. I lift up my voice. Baptism of grace. To work hard. To work diligently. In the name of the Lord Jesus." Lift up your voice and pray that prayer. Mande kapasa tepele. Eledebe koste hiva. Orate di kambis. A bidi bidio kakapa stakedi avendili bi art telekan teli abandekis a tiki talakuta ei pitala madumba baladam lende bekash kuta lechush ziprapodosh in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul said, "I labored more abundantly than they all." He didn't mention names, but that shows you that whoever he was in service with, he went the extra mile. We want to pray. Let the baptism of grace we have received push us to go the extra mile. It is the extra mile that connotes and brings forth the extraordinary. Extra mile. May I not just, because I want to go quickly, but then I got there, I said, no, there's more. Let me add more to it. You want to pray? The grace that has been bestowed on us, let the grace to work hard push us to go the extra mile in our work, in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and pray that prayer. May we not just settle for the ordinary. May we be counted as extraordinary workers.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Last prayer. In every working space, there are several people working there. In every space, you realize that there are those who don't have the consciousness of beating everybody. Not beating us in lashing, but you must. All right? They feel uncomfortable when they are. They don't even want to be attacked for being exceptional. But listen, it's either you excel and excel all, or you will be counted among a lot. Is somebody listening? In Proverbs 31, verse 10. Last prayer. Proverbs 31:10. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. So this is woman, but man too. Some men's prices are far above rubies. So your price, how much is your price? Far above or equal to rubies or below? Far above. Look at why the Bible says her price is far above rubies. When you read down, she's a hard worker. Then when you read the verse, look at the verse number 29. When you go home, take time, read the whole thing. But look at verse 29. Look at what he says. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Let the grace bestowed on me cause me to excel. I think you don't want that prayer. You don't want that prayer. May you be considered as you have excelled them all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Listen to me. There is no price, first place price, that is given to two people. The fact of the matter is that everybody who is in the competition does well, but they give it to only three. They say first, second, third. Gold, silver, bronze. Is somebody listening to me at all? When we are mentioning the names, may your name be mentioned as you have excelled them all. You want to pray? Let the grace of God bestowed on me push me to excel them all in my working space, in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and pray. I must be, my price must be far above rubies.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
May it be said, many teachers have done virtuously, but you have excelled them all.
Amen.
May it be said, many businessmen have done virtuously, but you have excelled them all.
Amen.
May it be said, many politicians have done virtuously, but you have excelled them all.
Amen.
May your name never be mentioned, and then a derogatory statement is attached that this one, he has really caused us pain. May it be said that you have brought profit, and the record you have set will be difficult to break.
Amen.
May your record be a good one.
Amen.
And not a bad one.
Amen.
in the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody shout, I'm a fruitful worker.
I'm a fruitful worker.
Shout it again, I'm a fruitful worker.
I'm a fruitful worker.
Shout it again, I'm an intelligent worker.
I'm an intelligent worker.
Shout it, I am a skillful worker.
I'm a skillful worker.
Shout it, I am a worker.
I am a worker
that accomplished things,
accomplish things
with speed.
With speed.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
My place is before kings.
It's before kings.
Before rulers. Because I am a ruler.
Because I'm a ruler
myself.
Myself.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you for listening to today's message. If you want to give your heart to Christ, just say this short confession after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died, and on the third day, you were raised back to life. And you are alive. I confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. You are the Lord of my life. Even from this day forth, precious Spirit of God, help me to live for the Lord all the days of my life. God bless you. If you said that confession, you are a child of God. Make sure you are planted in a church that will raise you in the Word of God so that you become a tree of righteousness that will bear fruit to the glory of God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with my Pastor Christian. We believe you have been refreshed by the Shepherd's Stream for a glorious living in Christ Jesus. You can get the messages of the man of God, Pastor Christian, on Facebook, Telegram, YouTube, podcast, or Podcast Addict, all at my Pastor Christian or Shepherd Stream Church. You may also call our helpline for the messages and the books of Pastor Christian and for pure pastoral counsel and any other inquiry on 0540-953-017, 0540-953-017. We also have the pleasure to invite you to join us in our glorious celebration services this and every Sunday at the Fresh Oil Assembly, Kumasi City Church, KCC, Edum, right opposite the GRA building behind the Ejaba building. My Pastor Christian also comes your way with Shepherd's Stream prayer session this and every Friday at 6:30 p.m. at the church premise at Edum. You can also join in the prayer session via Facebook Live at My Pastor Christian. Come, pray, and experience the glory of God. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.